بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In our previous class, continuing in the chapter the author he had mentioned about the affairs of المحبة, محبة العبودية, love, the love of servitude and worship, and submission and surrender and obedience. We have discussed several classes with regards to this affair, alhamdulillah, and we have read in our previous class some of the means the people of knowledge have mentioned to cultivate the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heart. And Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned 10 means, 10 things a person he could do himself to cultivate and nourish and bring about the love of Allah in his heart, and the love that he will have for Allah, and in turn this will be the means to obtain the love of Allah by showing preference to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and preference to his command tabaraka wa ta'ala. So in reviewing, we review briefly that which has preceded. The first one was to ponder over the recitation of the Qur'an and to think deeply on its meanings and to reflect. And he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, this means that one will ponder over the words of Allah and he will read the book and think about the meanings and reflect upon them in the same manner that he would read the book of an author, and of a person who wrote a book. Whenever a person, he writes a book, and an individual, he will read it. He will read it with diligence and he will try to understand what the author had intended from that work. And likewise, if he is trying to teach that book or explain it to others, he will look into that work diligently and try to understand the goals and the intents of the author in that work in order to understand it properly and then to clarify to others and the likes like this. So a believer, he will study the book of Allah in this manner, and he will strive to understand it, he will reflect upon it, and he will look at the aims and the intents that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he has intended in the revelation of the noble Quran. After this, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, after establishing the obligatory affairs to seek nearness to Allah azza wa jal by way of the non-obligatory affairs, and we have seen the importance of that and that great benefit from Ibn Hajar that the people of knowledge they transmit until this day. مَنْ شَغَلَهُ الْفَرْضُ عَنِ النَّفْلِ فَهُوَ مَعْذُورٌ وَمَنْ شَغَلَهُ النَّفْلُ عَنِ الْفَرْضِ فَهُوَ مَغْرُورٌ, that whoever is preoccupied with an obligation was not able to fulfill that non-obligatory action or perform it, then he's excused. He's excused. And whoever has preoccupied himself with a non-obligatory issue, any act of worship, whatever it may be, and has neglected the obligation because of that, then he has been deceived. Then he has been deceived. Likewise, the author, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, to constantly remember Allah. To constantly remember Allah. And we've seen that the people of knowledge, they mention, man ahabba shay'an akthara min dhikrihi, that whoever loves something, then he will mention it a lot. He will mention the thing that he loves a lot. And likewise, we have seen in other classes as well, the relationship between the heart and the tongue. The relationship between the heart and the tongue. So he mentioned with regards to this one, which is the third issue that will bring about and cultivate the love of Allah and the heart of a person, to remember Allah with the tongue and the heart and the actions and one's whole situation and circumstance and everything about him. Meaning he will remember Allah Azza wa Jalla in every situation he may be in, not only with his tongue, but rather with his heart likewise, and then an application, and then an application. And from the greatest remembrances of Allah, or from the greatest any dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, is to remember his commandments and to abide by them, and to remember his prohibitions, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to avoid them and stay away from them, knowing his greatness, and knowing his power and authority and command, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and fearing him and complying in this manner. This is from the greatest means to bring about the love of Allah in the heart, and likewise to gain the love of Allah. And also this is one of the best ways to cultivate that love and to make it strong, to remember Allah. And this is the foundation of the affair. With regards to the fourth issue, we have seen in our previous class, and this is showing preference to that which Allah loves over that which the person himself he loves, or that which his desires call to, and that person he would hasten and he would strive to climb up the ranks, yani, of worship and obedience to Allah by showing preference in this manner, even if it's difficult. Even if it's difficult in the beginning, a person, he has a soul. And if he is heedless for some time, his soul will overcome him. His soul will overcome him, and he will be a victim to his soul, and he will be a slave, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, to his desires. And whatever his desires call him to do, he will do that without any reins or without any restrictions and without abiding by the legislation. And this is the way of the soul. But if a believer is given success to remember that soul, it has a creator and a shaper and one who has formed it and brought it into existence and given it life, and that soul is returning to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it will submit and surrender, then the soul will go straight and it will be rectified. And at this time, a believer, he has to prefer that which the creator of the soul loves over that which the soul loves. And this is the means and the manner. And this is the means and the manner to obtain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and cultivate it in the heart, and likewise to have the love of Allah for an individual. And this one is even greater. And this one is even greater. And likewise, the means to taste the sweetness of faith. The true sweetness of faith will come in the heart at this time, whenever a person, he is presented with situations in life where his desires and the people are calling him to an affair, and Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they called him to something else. They called him to something that is contrary to what his desires called him to, or that which his whims would like to have, and the likes like this, showing preference to the command of Allah. In this manner, a believer, he can have life, true life. And likewise, in this manner, a believer, he will taste the sweetness of faith by responding to the call, by responding to the call of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and preferring that over the call of the soul and the whims and the desires. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu istajibu lillahi wa lirrasuli idha da'akum lima yuhyikum. O you who believe, respond to Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whenever they call you to that which will give you life. Whenever they call you to that which will give you life. So this is where we had left off in our previous class. We discussed the first four issues. And Al-Khamis, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, مَطَالَعَةُ الْقَلْبِ لِأَسْمَائِهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ وَمَشَهَدَتُهَا وَمَعْرِفَتُهَا وَتَقَلُّبُهُ فِي رِيَاضِ هَذِهِ الْمَعْرِفَةِ وَمَيَادِينِهَا. He said the fifth affair that will bring about the love of Allah in the heart. Remember, the love of Allah here, what he's referring to, rahimahullah ta'ala, is that a person, he will love Allah. And it bringing about the love for Allah in the heart. And because whenever we discuss the love of Allah, there's two aspects, and that is the love of the slave and an individual for Allah, and the love of Allah for him. And al-jaza'u min jins al-amal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tries the slaves, and he tests them, and whenever they show preference to his love, then he will love them. And whenever they comply to his command, then they will gain in return his love, subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have seen some affairs related to this. So the fifth affair, he's saying, rahimahullah, matala'atu al-qalbi. Matala'atu al-qalbi. That the heart is well aware and has strong knowledge and awareness and realization, the heart, with regards to the names of Allah and His attributes. With regards to the names of Allah and His attributes, to learn them and to know them and to reflect upon them and to contemplate upon them and to see the effects of these beautiful names and attributes in the creation and the likes, and also to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from this affair. The heart will know Allah by His names and by His attributes and by His actions. وَمُشَهَدَتُهَا وَمَعْرِفَتُهَا. And to witness these names and attributes and to know them, and to know them very well. And to know them very well. وَتَقَلُّبُهُ فِي رِيَاضِ هَذِهِ الْمَعْرِفَةِ وَمَيَدِينِهِ. and that the heart will go about in this garden, in this field of knowledge and awareness. And this is something he's referring to, that many of the people of knowledge have mentioned, that the issues with regards to knowledge, they're like gardens for the righteous. And for this reason, we see that many of the people of knowledge, they have titled their books about knowledge and about the legislative knowledge. They have given them the titles like Riyad al-Salihin, the gardens of the righteous. And if you open this book, it's all about the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ikhlas and tawbah and istighfar, and also it's about commandments and prohibitions, and that which is allowed and that which is impermissible. And the title of this book is the gardens of the righteous, because the righteous and the pious, the knowledge for them is like a garden in the heart, and the knowledge of the Quran and the recitation of the Quran is like a garden in the heart. Their heart comes to life. The Quran is the rabi' for their heart, and the spring bringing about the joys and the delights of the knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the greatest knowledge is the knowledge of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So this will be a garden in the heart for a believer. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِذَا مَرَرْتُمْ بِرِيَاضِ الْجَنَّةِ فَارْتَعُوا, that if you pass by the gardens of paradise, then partake therein and enjoy. And the companions, they asked, radiyallahu anhum, وَمَا رِيَاضُ الْجَنَّةِ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, and what are the gardens of paradise, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And he said, حِلَقُ الذِّكْرِ, the circles of knowledge. حِلَقُ الذِّكْرِ, the circles of knowledge. The circles of knowledge, they're gardens. They're gardens that the hearts, they flourish in and they grow, and delight is cultivated. Yani from loving Allah Azza wa Jal and knowing Him. From loving Allah Azza wa Jal and knowing Him, and knowing that He has the ability to do all things, and knowing that His knowledge has encompassed all things. And this knowledge here is called al-tawheed al-ilmi, yani the knowledge-based tawheed. And this is why we were created. This is why we are created, to know Allah and to know Him by His names and His attributes, and to comply to Him and to surrender to Him and to submit to Him. Allah, He says, Allahu alladhi khalaqa sab'a samawatin wa min al-ardi mithlahun yatanazzalu al-amru baynahunna li ta'lamu anna Allah ala kulli shay'in qadir wa anna Allah qad ahata bi kulli shay'in ilma, that Allah it is He who has created the seven heavens and the earth, the likes thereof, and His command descends amongst them in order for you to know. لِتَعْلَمُوا, in order for you to know. أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا, that Allah, He has the ability to do all things, and that Allah, He has encompassed all things in knowledge. So a believer, whenever he looks at the heavens and the earth, and he looks at that which is contained therein, and he looks at his own soul, he will see the greatness of the Creator and His majesty and His power and His authority and His command and His wisdom, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise His mercy and His kindness. And he will know Allah from looking into His creation, and then likewise he will know Allah from looking into His legislation, and he will realize that Allah, the one who created the human being in this manner and brought him into existence in this manner, that is well known, and the rest of the creation as well. He will see this, and he will know that Allah, He has the ability to do all things. And likewise, the one who has fashioned and formed the human being in this manner, and likewise this great creation, this beautiful creation, he will know likewise that Allah, His knowledge has encompassed all things, and He is well aware of His creation, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, one will reflect on all of the good in this life, and the beauty of this life, and the harmony in the creation, and the likes, and he will see that Allah, He is the most beautiful, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that which He has legislated for His slaves and that which He loves for them is beauty. And therefore He has sent messengers and He has sent revelation, and He has sealed the prophethood and messengership with the most beautiful prophet, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it has been sealed likewise with the most beautiful legislation, the legislation of Al-Islam. And this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, huwa jameelun yuhibbu jamal, that Allah, He is the most beautiful and He loves beauty. So these are from His names. The believer, whenever he learns these beautiful names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal and reflects upon them, this will cultivate the love of Allah in his heart. He will love Allah. He will love Allah, and then after this, he will worship Allah. And likewise, this is from the purpose of creation. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That I have not created the jinn and the mankind except to worship me alone, and to single him out alone in worship. And this is by knowing him, by his names and attributes, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, and knowing him by his signs and his creation, and by knowing him from his legislation, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, and pondering over these affairs, and then complying to that in a manner that is required. In a manner that is required, he said, فَمَنْ عَرَفَ اللَّهَ بِأَسْمَائِهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ وَأَفْعَالِهِ أَحَبَّهُ لَا مَحَالَةً أَحَبَّهُ لَا مَحَالَةً. That whoever knows Allah by his names and his attributes and his actions, whoever knows Allah by his names and his attributes and his actions, أَحَبَّهُ لَا مَحَالَةً أَحَبَّهُ لَا مَحَالَةً. And so the one who learns the Tawheed al-Ilmi, then he will love Allah Azza wa Jalla. And this is the foundation of the Tawheed al-Amali. At-tawheed al-amali, the foundation and the focal point of true servitude and worship, and the tawheed of application, singling out Allah alone for worship. This is love. How does it come about? By knowing him by his names and his attributes, and by knowing him by his actions, Subhanahu wa ta'ala. By knowing him by his actions, yani this is tawheed al-rububiyya, tawheed al-asma'i wa sifat. And if these two aspects of Tawheed, they're understood yani from the issue of Tawheed al-Ilmi, the knowledge-based Tawheed. What is required from this is to know him from his actions, to know him from his lordship, to know him from his great and beautiful actions of creating and providing and sustaining and giving life and giving death. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he gives everything a shape and his form. He is the one who has shaped the trees and the sun and the stars and the moon. And he is the one who has shaped the people. And he is the one who has shaped the soul and given it its shape and its life. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has given everything its shape and its form after bringing it into existence. Al-Khaliq al-Bari al-Musawwir. Huwa alladhi yusawwirukum fil arhami kayfa yasha. He is the one who forms you in the wombs as he wills. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of these are great and his signs of his magnificence and his majesty, and the fact that he's worthy of worship alone, and that a believer should love him. And if he looked at the stages of his life, he would see amazing affairs in his own creation. فَمَنْ عَرَفَ اللَّهَ بِأَسْمَائِهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ وَأَفْعَالِهِ أَحَبَّهُ لَا مَحَالَةً. So whoever knows Allah by his names and attributes and by his actions, then he will love him. And he will love him. لا محالة. There's no way out from that. He will love him, and this is a fact. This is a fact. Yani the correct knowledge. ولهذا كانت المعطلة والفرعونية والجهمية قطاع الطريق على القلب على القلوب قطاع الطريق على القلوب بينها وبين الوصول إلى المحبوب. Because of this, he says, المعطلة والفرعونية, those who belie the attributes or deny the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla, or they deny the existence of Allah, and the likes from these people, Al-Mu'attila and Al-Jahmiyyah, the deviant sects who have deviated with regards to the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla specifically, and as well other affairs, whether they deny the existence of Allah Azza wa Jalla, like Fir'aun, or whether they deny the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla till the extent that it's as if they have denied him, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're like highway robbers and bandits, and he cutting off the path of the hearts to reaching the love of Allah. For example, the Jahmiyyah, they say, Allah la yuhibbu wa la yuhibb. Allah, he is not loved and he does not love. And they make a false interpretation of the text whenever it's mentioned that Allah loves. And they say this means that Allah, he wants to do good to someone, or that he wants good for someone. And they take it back to the irada. But Allah, he doesn't love. This is what they claim. تعالى الله عما يقولون علوما كبيرا. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he loves. And a believer who knows that, he will strive to have that love. And likewise, if a believer, he knows that there are those who love Allah as well, then he will strive to be from them. And in the Jahmiyyah, they say that the believers, they don't truly love Allah. What it's meant by loving Allah, meaning loving his obedience. And they have other ta'wilat that are batila and falsehood. But the author, he's referring to this, meaning that the one who has these false beliefs, and he cuts his heart off it cuts his path off, and now he doesn't try to love Allah because it's only loving the obedience of Allah or loving the worship of Allah. As for Allah, he can't be loved. This is what they claim, or that Allah, he doesn't love, he doesn't have mahabba. It's not from his attributes, rather this just means that he wants to do good to somebody. Yani iradatul khayri wal ihsani lahum. This is what they have mentioned, and this is all falsehood. So they're cutting off the pathway to Allah Azza wa Jal, with their falsehood and with their denial and with their false interpretation. So a believer, he will know this, that Allah, he is loved and Allah loves. And what is most important is that one is loved. السادس مشاهدة بره وإحسانه وآلائه ونعمه الباطنة والظاهرة فإنها داعية إلى محبته. These affairs here, they're connected together, they're related directly. One of them supports the other one. One of these affairs will support the other one. And you know, for example, by remembering Allah Azza wa Jalla in the manner properly, and then also by learning and understanding and reflecting upon his names and attributes, and then witnessing in this affair here the bounties and the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal, and then reading the Quran with this understanding and finding this mention in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal and reflecting upon those affairs, especially whenever learning some principles with regards to the names and attributes, like the verses that are closed with the mention of names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. The meanings of those verses have a direct relationship to those names and attributes. Then a believer, he can truly reflect, and at this time the cultivation of the love and the heart will be strong. So he says, السادس مشاهدة بره وإحسانه وآلائه ونعمه الباطنة والظاهرة. That a person, he will witness and he will reflect and realize and confess and know any of the good that comes from Allah and the bounties and the blessings that come from him inwardly and outwardly. The inward blessings and the outward blessings. The outward blessings, no doubt, from the affairs in this life, from the wealth and the health and prosperity and safety and security in one's mind and one's and wellness, likewise in one's mind and one's body and one's family and one's neighborhood and the likes. He goes to and from with peace and safety and security, and he is taking care of his daily affairs, and he has what he needs to survive, and he's not struggling any to live. He's in the likes like this. This is all from blessings, and this is all from bounties of Allah Azza wa Jalla, or that he's healthy and he's strong, and he can take care of his own needs, and he does not have to rely upon others. All of these are from the bounties and blessings outwardly. And also inwardly, from the blessings of faith and the blessings of Al-Iman, to reflect upon these and to see them and to know that they come from Allah. That all of the good that a believer has, whatever it is, whether it's related to the deen, the faith that he has in his heart, the fact that he complied and he woke up and he came to the masjid this morning as a favor from Allah Azza wa Jalla, and a blessing and a bounty from Allah. How many people were prohibited that blessing today, this very morning, in this neighborhood and town that we live in? How many people were prohibited that? Any from the Muslims? Many of them. But Allah Azza wa Jal, He gave a number of His believers success to stand behind the Imam and to reflect and to benefit from the recitation. These are bounties and blessings from Allah. It is the Iman in the heart of a believer that will move him and bring him out of his bed and bring him out of his home and bring him to the masjid whenever it's hot and whenever it's hot and whenever it's cold. And the likes like this is a favor from Allah, not a favor from the slave. This is a bounty from Allah, not anything from a person that he did to deserve that. This is pure grace from Allah Azza wa Jal. So a believer, he will see that and he will realize that and he will know that. And likewise, all of the good that he has in his health and in his family and his wealth and prosperity and his business, all of this is a bounty from Allah. All of these are blessings from Allah. Allah, He is the one who provide them. And He is Al-Wahhab. He is Al-Razaq. He is Al-Mannan, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And He is the one who bestows these affairs. Al-Muhsin, the one who gives all of the good that we have. So which of these favors would we deny? Na'udhu billahi min dhalik, we will not deny none of them. We know they're from Allah. So He's saying that whenever we reflect upon this and realize this sincerely, truthfully, and to think about these affairs, then this will bring about, يعني فإنها داعية إلى محبته. da'iyatun ila mahabbatihi. From his names also, al-wadud. Al-wadud, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the loving, yatawaddadu ila ibadihi. Yatawaddadu ila ibadihi, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's doing so many kind things, so many ar-ra'uf. He's the most kind. So many actions of kindness that he does to his slaves that are calling, that are calling the heart to love him, that are calling the heart to love him. All of this good that we have, and the bounties that we have, and the blessings that we have, and if these are actions of kindness, Allah is being kind and gentle and merciful to the slaves, calling the heart to love him, calling the heart to confess that they're from him, and to recognize and know that the blessings are from Allah, and the good is from Allah, and being safe from harm. All of this is likewise from Allah. And a believer at this time, he will say, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, and love Allah, and praise him like this with his heart and with his tongue, with his heart and with his tongue. This is a means to cultivate the love of Allah in the heart. وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. That whatever bounty and whatever blessing you have is from Allah. Whatever bounty and whatever blessing you have is from Allah. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you were to count the blessings of Allah, you could not enumerate them. You cannot enumerate them. And this has come in the Book of Allah in two places. One time it's closed in Surah Ibrahim, in al-insana la-zalumun kafar, that verily the human being, he is oppressive, he's a wrongdoer, and he is ungrateful. And then in the other verse in Surah An-Nahl, which is known as Surah An-Ni'am, in Allah, غفور الرحيم. Verily Allah, He is the most forgiving and merciful. And in Surah An-Ni'am, Allah, He mentions so many blessings, one after the other. So many blessings, one after the other. And beginning with the blessing of the Deen and the revelation of La ilaha illallah and the creation of the human being and the animals and the trees and the sun and the moon and all of these blessings and blessings and blessings. And then if you were to count all the blessings of Allah, you could not enumerate them. Verily Allah, He is the most forgiving and merciful. From his bounties and blessings on his slaves is that he forgives them for the deficiencies that they have in showing thanks and for the shortcomings that they have in and showing thanks to him. He is the most forgiving and merciful. So the believer, whenever he looks at the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal and he knows him by his names and his attributes, and then he reflects over the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, this is all calling his heart to love him. This is all calling his heart and he to love Allah Azza wa Jal. To love Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah, He has revealed, He created the creation and He revealed the revelation so that He can be loved, so that He can be worshipped, so that He can be known. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-sabi' wa huwa min a'jabiha. He says the seventh one, and this is the most amazing. Wa huwa min a'jabiha. Inkisaru al-qalbi bi kulliyatihi bayna yadayhi. Wa laysa fi al-ta'biri an hadha al-ma'na ghayru al-asma'i wal-ibarat. He said the seventh affair, and this is the most amazing, and that is whenever the heart will break down entirely before him, in front of him. The heart will break down entirely before him. And there's no way to express this affair except just by mentioning some names or some sentences, any expressions. This is something that you can't talk about, and it's what he's trying to say. This is something that you can't talk about. Those who have been blessed with this experience, they know what he means. Whenever a person, he will completely confess his weakness entirely, and he will prostrate before Allah Azza wa Jal with tears and with servitude and submission, and he knows that he has no way out and he has no helper, and he realizes this at that moment, and the heart will burst, as he mentioned, it will break down in front of him. And this is the great, most amazing way, he says, you need to cultivate the love of Allah Azza wa Jal in the heart of a person. And likewise, this is the sweet taste of faith, whenever a person, he will completely surrender entirely and know that the command is Allah's, and he will surrender with hope and fear and love at that moment. This is a great, great, great favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. نسأله من فضله سبحانه وتعالى. الثامن, he says the eighth affair, الخلوة به وقت النزول الإلهي, that one would be alone with him, to be alone with Allah Azza wa Jal in the time of the divine descent, meaning in the last third of every night, whenever Allah Azza wa Jal, he descends in a manner befitting his majesty, which is established in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is well known. He says, "Yani al-khalwa tu bihi, at this time, to be alone with Allah azza wa jalla at this time, limunajatihi wa tilawati kalamihi, to have private consultation with Him and to recite His speech, and to recite His speech." وَالْوُقُوفُ بِالْقَلْبِ وَتَأَدُّبُ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ, yani that one will also stand with the heart in front of Him and discipline himself in front of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he stand there with his heart present with discipline, meaning not with heedlessness and not with forgetfulness, but rather with his body standing before Allah Azza wa Jal at this time and being alone with Him in a private consultation, reciting His words with discipline and noble manners, and with His heart likewise alive, with His heart likewise alive in front of Him. ثُمَّ خَتْمُ ذَلِكَ بِالِاسْتِغْفَارِ وَالتَّوْبَةِ, and then to finish this and to close this act of worship, meaning before the Fajr, with seeking forgiveness and seeking repentance. Seeking forgiveness and seeking repentance. This number 8 is actually a detailed clarification of number 3. Number 3 was to draw near to Him with the nawafil after the fara'id. So this is a specific nafila that has a specific benefit in this affair. And all of the nafila, and he mentioned previously, is a means, the duha, and the non-obligatory fasting, the non-obligatory prayer, the non-obligatory charity, the non-obligatory seeking knowledge, all of these affairs that are non-obligatory are the means. But this one specifically, he singled it out for mention because of the great benefit that it has in cultivating the love of Allah in the heart. So this is something that a believer, he will strive for. And he can do that by setting his alarm and getting up 30 minutes before Fajr, or an hour before Fajr, or whatever is easy for him. But even if a person, he got up 20 minutes before Fajr, if it's hard for him, for example, somebody who has not accustomed himself to this affair, let him try this, to get up 30 minutes before Fajr or 20 minutes before Fajr and hasten to make wudu, and come and just pray 3 short rak'ah. Pray 3 short rak'ah like this with a heart that's present, with a mind that's hoping for the reward from Allah, and recite the Qur'an and ponder over the words. Whatever portion he chose, it's good for him to choose to recite Surah Al-A'la and then Al-Kafirun, and then after that to recite Qul Huwallahu Ahad and make the supplication that has come, likewise in the Qunut, and the likes like this, and ponder and think about this and to reflect upon this. If a person, and then after that seek forgiveness until it's time to go to the masjid, until it's time to go to Salat al-Fajr. And this is a means likewise to preserve the Fajr prayer. And also it will be a means to help him come to the masjid early, and then to come to the masjid first and foremost, and then to even to come early, because he's already up. He's not getting up scrambling at the last moment, rather he's already up. He's already ready to go. And he's already dressed in the likes like this. And so a believer, he will strive for this. This is something that a believer will hope for. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Sharaf al-mu'min fi qiyamuhu min al-layl." Or kama qala sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the nobility of a believer is in the fact that he stands in the night prayer. And this is a great manner to have a high rank and status with Allah azza wa jalla. So starting like this, 20 minutes before Fajr, 20 minutes before the adhan al-Fajr, 30 minutes like this, making wudu and praying 3 rak'ah. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned that in a situation like this, trying to establish something like the night prayer, that one would not choose a great number or a difficult number like 13 rak'ah or 11 rak'ah in the beginning, because maybe in the beginning one could do that, and maybe he'll do that 1 day, 2 days, or 1 week, 2 weeks, and if he begins in this manner, he's going to become lazy later or get tired later, and then it's too much for him to burden and to carry, so he'll leave it. So it's better for him to not pick a big number, but rather pick a small number like three, and establish that until it becomes a sunnah for him. Every night, every day he gets up at this time, he prays 3. Then after this is established, after some time, and becomes easy for him by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jalla, now he can increase, add 2 more. Or he can increase, add 4 more in this manner like this. Or he can start with 3 and recite some smaller portions, and then maybe he will learn after that to get up earlier. He can recite a longer portion, or he can add some more rak'ah like this. But just to establish it first, this is what is important. to establish it first. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Inna habba amali ilallahi adwamuha wa inqal," that the most beloved deeds to Allah are the ones that are consecutive, even if they're few. Any from the non-obligatory actions. Any of the ones that are consecutive, even if they are few. So to be consecutive with three is much better than to do 13 or to do 20 or to do a big number, yani for a little while and then stop. To do it for a little while then stop. Yani qalilun da'im khayrun min kathirin munqati'. That to have a little bit constantly is better than having a whole lot but it's cut off. Because the point is to worship Allah until death. So the one who has established three rak'ah every night, then when death comes to him, he's upon that. But as for the one who does 13 or 11 here and there, I mean, a couple of weeks or a couple of nights he does it, then he falls off and he's off of it for three or four nights, and then he'll get back on it maybe one night, and then he's off of it for a month, or maybe he'll leave it entirely. When death comes to him, he's not upon that because he had chose something that he cannot bear and burden. So this is something that's very beneficial for a believer to be aware of, to choose the actions of worship, the non-obligatory actions that one can maintain and he can do consecutively day in and day out, and then build on top of that. But in any case, a believer, he will want this love in his heart. From the means of that, to stand in the night prayer, even if it's something short and brief, he will make that effort. And Allah, he is ash-shakur. Allah, he is the most appreciative and thankful that a believer, he will stand before him and get up even before it's obligatory for him. Allah Azza wa Jalla will give him success if he does this sincerely. At-tasi' majalasatu al-muhibbin as-sadiqin. Number 9 is to keep company with those who love Allah and those who are truthful. And those who are truthful and their love for Allah. Wal-tiqatu atayibi thamarati kalimatihim. Iltiqat is to pick out the fruits, the beautiful fruits of their statements, and to sit with the people who love Allah and the truthful, and not only to sit in their company but to find the best statements that they have and to take those and hold on to those, and like their fruits and like their the beautiful, the sweet fruits, he would take them like this and keep them with him. And if somebody's seen some nice berries or some nice apples or some nice عينب, what is عينب? Grapes. Some nice grapes. He will see the good one. There's all a bunch of grapes there. Some of them will stand out. Oh, this one is nice. He would take that one. Like this. Likewise, the statements of the people who are truthful with Allah. And that is apparent from their actions. And Allah knows what's in the hearts. But what is seen from their outward appearance and their conduct and manners is that they're from those who love Allah, and they're from those who mention Allah, and they're truthful with that, and that's what is apparent, then they will have statements that are beneficial and beautiful. So he's saying to sit with them and take the best of their statements. To sit with them and take the best of their statements. He says, كَمَا تَنْتَقِي طَيِّبَ الثَّمَرُ, just like you take the beautiful fruits. وَلَا تَتَكَلَّمُ إِلَّا إِذَا تَرَجَّحَتْ مَصْلَحَةُ الْكَلَامُ وَعَلِمْتَ أَنَّ فِيهِ مَزِيدًا لِحَالِكَ وَمَنْفَعَةً لِغَيْرِكَ. And whenever you sit with them, you don't ever speak. He said, whenever you sit with them, you don't speak, except if you know that it's very beneficial for you to speak, and you know that it's going to increase you in benefit, and also others. And also others, and so meaning that he will come to the gathering to benefit, not to benefit others. And that's the asl. He came to benefit. And he came to listen, and he came to be the first to have the fa'ida. But then if he has something additional to mention, and he knows that it's, inshallah, is good, then to say it. But the origin is that he will sit with them and benefit from them. And this is from the great means to have success. And also from the great means to have failure is to have bad friends. To have bad friends. And so a believer, he will want to have good friends, and it's better to have it's better to have no friends than to have bad friends. And some of the worst friends we have today are right here in our phones. Some people, their best friend is YouTube and Facebook. And they have private gatherings with them. And they go into bad places. And they go to listen to bad things that they have to say and write about. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ So not, this is a new type of companion that we have today, the internet. Some people, their companion, they think they're alone. La, Allah Azza wa Jalla, As-Sami' Al-Basir. He can see and he can hear everything. Tabaraka wa ta'ala. So one, he will remember that. Likewise, the people, the people as well, keeping good company. Company of those who, what is apparent from them is that they have good with them, good from the deen and the dunya. Likewise, alhamdulillah. Al-ashir mubaadatu kulli sababin yuhulu bayna al-qalbi wa bayna Allahi Azza wa Jalla. Number 10, he mentioned, is to stay away from and to avoid, to get rid of everything that would take the heart away from Allah Azza wa Jal, that would come between Allah and would come between the heart and Allah Azza wa Jal. You need to avoid every avenue and to close all windows and to block every path that would cut off the heart, that would cut off the heart from Allah Azza wa Jal and from the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. And there are many shawagil and things that will preoccupy a person or distract a person, and a believer, he has to try to minimize them as much as possible, minimize them or cut them off entirely if possible. No doubt a believer, he has to get his daily living, but even the one who truly loves Allah Azza wa Jalla and remembers him, that daily living for him will be a means of worship, will be a means of worship. So a believer, he has to avoid any of the ways that would cut him off, and from those ways that cut him off is having those companions and those people that busy themselves talking about that which is not beneficial or that which does not concern them or the affairs of the dunya, or even worse, talking about others, waliyadu billah, or likewise be careful from that which he looks at from the internet. And sometimes he will be going there to look at something that is that he needs, and he'll wind up hours later in something he does not need. And it will suck him in, the internet like that, YouTube and these other things. Maybe he'll begin looking at something beneficial, but he's not cautious, it drags him. It drags him into a wilderness of knowledge and information, and very minimum, much of it will waste a person's time. Much of it will waste a person's time if it did not drag him into the haram. And we ask Allah to protect us and the believers from these affairs. There's a war going on. A believer has to be awake. There's a war. There people are trying to mislead the Muslims particularly. And the Muslim lands, and if you look into the Muslim lands, you will find that many of them have been misguided, and the reason why is because of satellite dishes on their houses. Because of satellite dishes on their houses, the satellite dish, they were not able to go there with weapons and to destroy them and enslave them. So they put satellite dishes and brought these movies and these programs, and now their thoughts are corrupted. Waliyadu billah, many of the Muslims, they completely have corrupt aqidah and corrupt view of life, and much of the problems come from these satellite dishes. وَلِيَابَ بِاللَّهِ. He says, فَمِنْ هَذِهِ الْأَسْبَابِ الْعَشْرَةِ وَصَلَ الْمُحِبُّونَ إِلَى مَنَازِلِ مَحَبَّةِ. So from these 10 means, the lovers, those who love Allah, they have reached the stages of love. And they have, by these are the ways to cultivate the love for Allah in the heart. وَدَخَلُوا عَلَى الْحَبِيبِ. And they have now entered upon the beloved. وَمِلَاكُ ذَلِكَ كُلِّهِ أَمْرَانِ. And the foundation and the means for all of this is two affairs. إِسْتِعْدَادُ الرُّوحِ لِهَذَا الشَّأْنِ وَانْفِتَاحُ عَيْنِ الْبَصِيرَةِ وَبِاللَّهِ التَّوْفِيقِ. He says that this is all governed by two affairs. And it's controlled by two affairs, and that is that the soul, it has to get ready for this. Person has to prepare himself for this affair here. He has to get ready. He has to ponder over these issues and think deeply and make a decision. What does he want in life? What does he want in life? What does a believer want in life? The pleasure of Allah. The pleasure of Allah. وَرِضْوَانُ مِنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. The greatest thing is to have the pleasure of Allah in this life and in the hereafter. And in this life and the hereafter, have the pleasure of Allah and to see Him. But the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So therefore, a person has to tell himself, this is what I want. I want the pleasure of Allah. I have to start thinking about that. How can I obtain the pleasure of Allah? What is required from me? And to do that, you have to be pleased with Him and be pleased with His deen. And be pleased with His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the one who is man radiya billahi rabban وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم نبيا ذاق حلاوة الإيمان. He would taste the sweetness of faith. He would taste the sweetness of faith, yani meaning that he will have the love of Allah in his heart and Allah would love him. So that means that person, he has to get ready. He has to prepare himself. He has to prepare his soul. Get ready for this. And he has determination. And then also he has to have the open up the eye, the eye of insight. The eye of insight. The eye, it has al-basar, and the heart, it has al-basira. So a person, he can see with the basar, but if his heart does not know basira, then he'll be lost. And this is the worst of all blindnesses, the blindness of the heart. So he has to prepare himself like this, by getting ready, getting his soul ready, and then also having insight. Having insight, and this is by learning the fundamentals and foundation of the deen, beginning with the tawheed, and the correct aqidah. And likewise, after that, how to apply that. Because the deen is aqidah and sharia, the creed and belief, and then the application of that in compliance to the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal, and avoidance of his prohibitions. These are the 10 affairs that the author Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned here in Madarij al-Salikin. Inshallah, in our next class, we'll return to the reading from the text the author he had mentioned. And our last class, we were discussing the hadith about halawat al-iman, the hadith about halawat al-iman. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his love and to cultivate his love in our hearts, and we ask for him to love us and to make us from those whom he loves by his grace and his mercy. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.